Father, we come to you here right now, and we ask for your presence to be in our midst this morning. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will bear witness to your Son, and that also you will remind us of the important role that your Holy Spirit plays in our daily lives as believers, and that he desires to carry out from day to day. We pray, dear Lord, that you will remind us of this, that we may be more conscious of it, and that your Holy Spirit will have more cooperation from us on our part for the work that he has been sent to do and that he desires to do in and through each and every one of us. So, Lord, we pray today, take your word and indeed inspire it by your Holy Spirit. Apply it to our hearts. Put it, Lord, that we may put it into practice in our hearts and our lives, that it may become the actual expression of you. These things we ask humbly in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and for his sake. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to follow along with the notes, now would be the time to get those. I think they're on a separate sheet there somewhere in your bulletin. So let's review a little bit about we said last week that the Holy Spirit starts with the letter M. Does anybody remember? He's a multitasker. Because on the one hand, he is a full-time evangelist. He is present whenever the gospel is being shared in order to convict people and bring them to salvation. But then as soon as we become believers, then he becomes our teacher and our guide. And then there are other ministries of the Holy Spirit that we'll be looking at here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So the Holy Spirit is extremely versatile, and he is here to implement and to oversee every facet of redemption's plan. It is no accident that he is sent and poured out exactly 10 days after the Lord Jesus Christ, having offered himself on the cross, having been buried, having risen from the dead, having appeared to his disciples for 40 days for additional teaching, and then returning to heaven, that just 10 days later is when he sends the Holy Spirit. And he makes it plain in these verses and others that we read in the New Testament what the role of the Holy Spirit is going to be. So he's here as evangelist, he's here as teacher and guide, and he is here as much more. And so to review the Holy Spirit's role in salvation, in any person, prior to salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to Christ. Like we said, if the Holy Spirit spent all his time just trying to convince people there's a God, that wouldn't save one human being. No, he is here to bear witness to Jesus Christ, God's Son, and to his redemptive work on the cross, and to bring men to salvation. That God exists should already be known by the things that are made. Secondly, he is here to bear witness to the cross, not only to who Jesus is as God's Son, but also to his work on the cross. And hit the redemption that he purchased for us there. And yes, he is here to convince of sin and total condemnation. Until I understand as an individual that I am under God's total condemnation, not partial, total condemnation, I am not ready to receive Christ as Savior. If I think I can do one good thing, if I think I can do one good work that'll make a difference, if I think there is one little character trait in me that the Lord might be pleased with, then I am not ready to receive Jesus as Savior. We are under total condemnation, and it is only at the point that we are totally condemned that God is then free to offer us grace as a free gift. And we sing a song that says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And that is exactly right. So the work of the Holy Spirit is that I would know that I, as a sinner, that I, as a descendant of fallen Adam, am under his total and complete condemnation. Then, when the gospel is shared, these are some of the functions of the Holy Spirit. To bring us to faith and repentance, to believe the message that is preached, the gospel that is proclaimed concerning Christ's death on the cross for us, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming again. Secondly, when we believe then, and he brings us across that line into salvation, he is the one who affects the new birth and gives us spiritual life. Up to that time, we do not have spiritual life. More on that later. Thirdly, he seals us for salvation. Every single person who has been born again, has come to a personal saving knowledge of Jesus, has been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and God can look down at any given time, and he knows every single one of us because we've got his seal on us. I likened it to going back to school, and you know the book is yours because it's got the little label on it with your name on it. And that's how it is. If the seal's not there, we're not his. D provides full assurance of salvation. And it is the Holy Spirit. Now, the devil fights this tooth and nail. Even after we become believers, he's always trying to introduce that little bit of doubt. And he loves to capitalize when you're in a weak moment and we're not perfect, even though we've accepted Christ, we're not perfect. There's times when we do a little something. And then he says, see, I told you, I knew all the time you were a hypocrite. I knew all the time you weren't really a Christian. And if we're not careful, he'll talk us into doubting our salvation. My salvation isn't based on the fact that I never mess up. It's based on the fact that Jesus paid it all on the cross. And so, because of that, my salvation is secure. Now, if I have messed up, it says, it tells us what to do. It's called rebound. I go, I confess it to him, he cleanses me, and fellowship is restored. I haven't lost my salvation, but I've disobeyed him, and fellowship has been broken, much like your child when they disobey you. But the child may need to be disciplined, but they're still your child. They don't stop being your child just because they disobeyed you. But until we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, we're not his child. But once we come to Jesus, we are saved. The Holy Spirit bears witness to us, full assurance of our salvation, and we should never, ever doubt that. So, as we said last time, once we cross the line over into salvation, now he fills us and indwells us. We didn't put that down, but he does. And then his real ministry begins because now he is going to lead us into a fuller relationship with Christ. The day that I receive Jesus as Savior, do I know everything I need to know to be a successful Christian? And the answer is no. There is still much that I'm to learn. Now, I'm not going to be any more saved by those additional things any more than your child is going to be more your child because they're 8 years old now instead of 2 years old. But for the Lord to, he wants me to grow. It's called growing in grace when a baby's born. Jason and Melissa have a new baby boy born yesterday. And immediately, I'm guessing he's already been fed a few times. You reckon so? And so the Holy Spirit becomes our nursemaid at the beginning, and he begins to feed us the milk of the Word. And then when we graduate to baby food, he gives us baby food. And then when we get a little bit further along where we can have regular food cut up, he does that. And then when we're fully grown and have all our spiritual molars and everything in place, then he begins to give us the other stuff. And then he leads us into spiritual maturity. And then at some point, he also begins to work through us in order to minister to others and in order to carry out the purposes that God has us. So we're starting, we're saved. We had just enough information, basically, to get saved. And we're never going to be more saved than we are the minute we receive Jesus as Savior. But that's when the work of the Holy Spirit begins, because now He's taken us as His, and He is literally going to raise us in the Lord. Now He's going to continue to work through Sunday school teachers, ministers, Christian acquaintances, gospel recordings, any kind of input from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is going to work through all that, but all that has to really be assimilated and has to really be applied through the work of the Holy Spirit. And as you read the New Testament, I mean, as you're reading about the Holy Spirit, the different words, it talks about being filled with the Spirit. It talks about being indwelt by the Spirit. Now, these are phenomena that is true of every single person that has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Filled with the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Paul talks about walking in the Spirit, which means living our daily lives under the guidance and tutorship of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when Jesus says to them, and we read it here, I'm going to send you another counselor. Some translate that helper. The King James translates it comforter. The NIV translates it counselor. It's the Greek parakletos, one who is an aid, one who is called to one side to assist one. So it has so many applications. A tutor. Indeed, it is the word for comforter. It's anybody who comes to your side in a situation to help you what you're having trouble with yourself or what you are incapable of doing yourself. And so, the Holy Spirit, as we say, He wears many hats. And He's carrying them all out, because God's goal is not only that you would come to faith in Jesus and then remain a spiritual baby the rest of your life. God's purpose for you as a believer is that you would begin to grow and eventually become a mature believer. And so just as the Holy Spirit has certain functions that He's going to do in order to bring somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, now that you and I are believers, He's got certain ministries He's going to carry out in our lives, never without our cooperation, but always with our cooperation. So, sometimes we get a little stubborn. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we're not really in tune with what. And so He's patient. He waits until we're ready. And then, when we do start getting in the Word, we go through a growth spurt. Isn't that amazing? Huh? We start getting in the Word again, and we go through a growth spurt. Now, come on. How many have gone through something like that? And we'll go through a time where we're not growing that much. But then all of a sudden, He reminds us, we get back in the Word, we get back like we ought to do, and then the Holy Spirit, faithful to His ministry, becomes our teacher and guide again, becomes active again after being maybe sidelined for a while by us, and then all of a sudden we begin to grow again. So it's very important for the believer to realize this fact, that God wants to take us from infancy to maturity, and that can only happen through continued intake of the Word. And it's only as there is continued intake of the Word of God that we're going to grow, and that then the Holy Spirit has what He needs in order to do His work. But even if we're intaking the Word, the part of the Holy Spirit is to teach us what it means, and to help us understand it, and help us apply it, and to give us the both the motivation and the power to apply what we've learned. So, here, let's read this little paragraph here. At the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit switches roles from evangelist to teacher, guide, and helper. He has a direct hand in all future growth of the believer. His job is to bring us to Christian maturity and equip us for Christian service through the assimilation and application of Scripture. That's how I would summarize His work in each of us as believers. Now, here are just a few basic observations. Number one, The Holy Spirit is the believer's personal teacher, trainer, and guide. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He's going to teach you all the stuff I couldn't teach you. He's going to even remind you of stuff that I've said in the past. And then he's going to teach you about it. So he is our personal tutor, trainer, and guide. Some people, when they go to exercise, they have a personal trainer, right? Because the trainer is there to make sure, now this is how you do this, and this is how you do this. If you're in certain difficult subjects, sometimes you'll have a personal tutor to help you with your lessons. Because you don't quite get it. You just don't. If you have any children and have seen them struggle with homework, you've seen that in the natural realm. And sometimes that happens in the spiritual realm as well. So the Holy Spirit is there. He's our personal teacher, trainer, and guide. Secondly, the Holy Spirit teaches us Bible doctrine. He's not here to teach you about football. Somebody else can do that. He's here to teach you Bible doctrine. Because Bible doctrine is the means of Christian growth. Now, not just knowing the facts, but knowing it. Bible doctrine just means the teaching of God's Word. And so that's what he's here to do. He's here to unlock the Scriptures to you. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit guards us from false teaching. That's another thing that he does. He'll let us know the difference. This isn't right. This is right. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us more fully. Now when we, I'm still all the time learning more things about my Savior that just amaze me. To use a phrase, floor me. All the time. I've been serving the Lord now. This October it'll be 50 years. My 50th spiritual anniversary. I'm getting ready to turn 50, folks. But I'm still learning all the time. Listen, this is the way the Holy Spirit wants it to be, that we would, and more, Spirit of God. How many remember that old song, More and More About Jesus? And one of the lines in there is, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. You want to talk about Jesus? The Holy Spirit? I tell you. I don't know. Does the Holy Spirit get excited? I don't think he experiences emotions exactly like we do. But that will get the Holy Spirit's attention. I want to know more about Jesus. And believe me, when we come to salvation, we know he died on the cross for us. We know it's only his blood that can save us. We know he was God's son. We know he was sinless. We know he was born of the Virgin Mary. We know he was a great teacher and helped a lot of people. We know those things, but there is so much more to know about Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to show us those things. Number five, the Holy Spirit shows us in greater depth the meaning and scope of salvation. So, like I said, I'm never more saved than the day I get saved. But oh, there are so many facets to this thing. And it is such a wonderful thing. It'd be like going through, well, let's just take an example, the U.S. Capitol building. And you look at it from the outside, and that's the U.S. Capitol building, and it's beautiful. And you can see the columns and the marble and the architecture. But then if you go from room to room to room, there are so many interesting individual things in every room. And then if you focused on just one painting hanging on the wall, there are so many things you could learn about that painting, and on and on. And salvation is so comprehensive and so multifaceted. We'll never, ever grasp it all. But why does the Lord, you say, well, why does it matter? I'm saved, ain't I? Bad English, but that's not it. He wants us He wants us to understand in a greater depth, okay, what it all means and what it's all leading to. And we should want to know it. So he shows us in greater depth the meaning and scope of salvation, grace, redemption, and so forth. Number six, the Holy Spirit reveals to us more fully the blessings of grace. The ones described in Ephesians chapter 1, probably the best short list. He's going to reveal to us more fully the blessings of grace. Right now, the blessings that are already ours through our union with Christ, and also the glories that await us in the future. And I tell you, as we get older, I mean, we should anyway, but this is a natural process. This is normal. And I tell you what, folks, the older we get, the more excited we ought to be getting as believers. We ought to have heaven on our minds. We ought to have the glories of eternity on our minds. We ought to be searching the Scripture for every little scrap that it tells us, because He can't show it all to us, and we wouldn't be able to understand it all if He did. But I tell you what, He wants us to be getting ready. Just like when we wait as a child in excited anticipation, tomorrow we're going to Busch Gardens, or tomorrow we're going to Disney World, or whatever. Hey, or whatever. But to be excited, the closer we get, the more, yes, we should focus on that, and the more excited we should be. And let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit will be only too glad to make that. You know, we can spend our old age focusing on all our little hurts and aches and pains. Let me tell you, we'll have plenty to go around, right? I don't know if there's anybody here that can identify with that, but we'll have plenty to go around. But that's not our focus. That's not our focus. We're living only in the temporary realm. We're getting ready. And yes, He wants us to know about that stuff. And He doesn't mind us asking. And He doesn't mind us investigating it. And He'll be more than glad to tell us about it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And then the next sentence says, but He has revealed them to us by His Holy Spirit. Number seven. The Holy Spirit renews our minds. Do not be conformed to this world. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your minds, that you may be able to understand what is that good, perfect. And there's one more word there. Acceptable. Will of God. Who does that? The Holy Spirit does that through the intake of the Word and through His teaching ministry to us. He's the one who renews our mind so that we don't think like we used to think. We have to relearn our thinking. We're already saved at the moment of salvation, but a lot of times we still carry a lot of our old thinking with us in our daily lives and our daily thinking. And we still have, whatever, hang-ups from our upbringing and past experiences and this and that. And so the Holy Spirit has to retrain how we think. And that's one of His big ministries to us. All right, let's just go through the list here. And this is just from John 14, 15, and 16. These are straight out of the Scripture. Just in that one passage here of John 14 through 16, these are what Jesus says to the disciples. Oh, and by the way, there's that one little insert there in chapter 16 where he talks about the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to convict the world of of justice and all that, but that's the only place where he talks about the world. And that's him in his salvation ministry, convincing men of righteousness and sin and judgment. That is his salvation ministry. But everything else that Jesus says is you, 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 my disciples, you. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to do for you. Number one, teach you all things. Anything that has to do with the plan of God. Anything that has to do with the plan of redemption. The Spirit searches all things, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Even the deep things of God. This is the Holy Spirit. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Who knows the thoughts of God? The Spirit of God. Who knows how God thinks? The Holy Spirit. Who knows what God thinks? The Holy Spirit. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God. Why? That we may understand what God has freely given us. So we can understand it. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, capital S, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit, capital S, does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. An unsaved person and us before salvation, we cannot understand. He will help us to understand the plan of salvation. But beyond that, there's not anything he can really teach us. And he, the natural man, cannot understand them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, without the Holy Spirit present, you can't understand it. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That's a quote from the Old Testament. And Paul answers, but we have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? How can we say that we have the mind of Christ? Because we have the Holy Spirit who shares with us from the Word of God the mind of Christ. Okay, let's go on. He will teach you all things. Everything in regarding redemption and salvation and God's plan. Number two, he will remind you of everything I've said to you. Some of you have probably had the experience of the Holy Spirit bringing to your mind a verse of Scripture when you're going through a difficult situation. Maybe you have had the experience of the Holy Spirit bringing something to your mind when you are trying to share with somebody about the Lord. That's just a small foretaste or whatever of just a small sample of what his ministry is. But he's there to remind us of anything that God has said in his word that applies to the situation. Some of us need that more than others. I know I need it. Number three, he will testify about me. He's not here to talk about the weather. He's not here to talk about health care reform. He is here to talk about Jesus Christ. Number four, he will guide you into all truth. What truth? Gospel truth. The truth contained within the covers of this book. Number five, he will not speak on his own. What does that mean? He is here to deliver to us everything that is in the cover of this book, which is redemption's plan, God's plan for man. So, he doesn't make up stuff. He only shares what the Father and the Son have told him. And that is basically, by the way, who really wrote the Bible? I know God used men to put the ink on the paper, but who does it say that all Scripture is what? God breathed? So who is the real author? The Holy Spirit. Who can best explain a book? The person who wrote it, right? Number six, he will speak only what he hears. And what he hears is straight from heaven. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Comes in handy right now. And number eight, he will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. So every time the Holy Spirit takes something that is of Jesus, something that is of the Father, reveals it to us, Jesus is glorified. So the Holy Spirit is here to do all that. Now I want to close just by reading, you've read them before, these two prayers of Paul for the Ephesian believers. And as I read it, just listen to see at what level you think the Holy Spirit would have to be involved in the answer to Paul's prayer. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit, capital S, of wisdom and revelation. What wisdom? What revelation? The wisdom of God and the revelation of God in Scripture. Why? So that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I wonder who could do that for us. In order that you may know the hope to which He has called you. So you've already been called, but you need to know it better and understand it better. The riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Who could help us understand those things, I wonder? That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Now, here's the second prayer in chapter 3 of Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all saints, and by the way, their power means ability, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I wonder who would be able to do that for us. And to know this love. By the way, know there doesn't mean head knowledge, it means experiential, relational knowledge. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You see, Paul didn't want the Ephesian believers to just be surviving. He wanted them to be thriving. He wanted them to be growing. He didn't want them to avail themselves of 60% of what the Lord had for them. He wanted them to maximize it. And that's what he prayed for them. And then he ends that section by saying, and this is the context, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. I wonder what that might be. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So my prayer today for us as believers and for myself as a believer would be that really we would carry a greater awareness of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit with us in our daily lives. It isn't that we don't know it from Scripture, but we get so bogged down with our day-to-day life routines that it's just easy to get so focused on all this stuff. And somewhere in there, we just kind of lose the intentionality. And we just lose the actual awareness. Hey, the Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? Holy Spirit, how would you have me respond in this situation? Holy Spirit, what is your truth as applied? And that awareness, because He's right there. And He's ready. He's called the Helper. And it's not by accident He's called the Helper. He's there to be my helper in every situation. And what a helper He is. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You didn't just leave us hanging. Jesus said, if I don't go away and send this other helper, you're going to be like orphans. You're going to be on your own. But I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to send another helper that'll never leave you. And He will teach you. And He will guide you. And He will lead you into all truth. Lord, help us as Christians today to understand the riches we have, not only in the words of Your written page, and not only in the completed work of Jesus on the cross, but in the availability of Your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us every single day unconditionally to help us with anything and everything that we're struggling with, and anything and everything that we're struggling to understand from Your Word, and in every single thing, and to bring us healing in areas where we may still be hurting from things in the past, to do all of this, and just waiting to do it. So Lord, today, help us as believers every day to value the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. To not grieve Him, as it tells us in one place, but to be so open to anything He would tell us, to any way that He would lead us and guide us, to any new truth that He would reveal to us, to any word He would give us for someone we know that needs You or is hurting. Thank You that You are faithful. And thank You that You will always do it when we ask. We give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.